Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
In my mind, Sunny Joe, how are you finding this day? How are you travelling?
I'm always travelling on here. You know me.
Walking on sunshine?
I'm walking on sunshine. I'm walking on my shoes with their Eames heels. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, you've got some fancy clompers on there.
I do. I thought it was a good day to dress up, to glam up because of our guests.
Yes, we have some fantastic guests coming. Would you like to introduce our guests to the Escape Pod crowd?
Well, I actually think we should keep our audience a little bit on the edge of their seat because we have a world record holder.
In
the studio, which is not common for us on the Escape Pod to have a world record holder. And we have someone...
They're looking at each other quizzically, as you have mentioned that. So I think we're going to have to pick around the edges of that and get deeper.
I think we will. And we have someone who has actually performed on stage with family. And that...
The Manson family?
No. We're not into violence.
No, we're not.
No. Now, what's been happening this week?
Detroit is going bankrupt, and the concern from a travelling point of view is what they've applied for bankruptcy, but they've also had it rejected, I believe, by Michigan. The challenges that happen when a city goes bankrupt is who looks after the airport, who looks after public transport infrastructure, who looks after the bus system, who looks after a bunch of different things that happens in a city. How do people get around? How do people access? One of the biggest problems that happened in Detroit was because of the huge growth and was a car city, it became a urban sprawl. Now that Detroit is contracting population, there are huge suburbs, tracts of land where nobody lives, and it's the outer parts of the city, and it's patchwork where it's where people have left the city, and houses are vacant. So how are people going to get around? How are people going to shop? Particularly people who are financially marginalised, or people with a disability, or people who are older. How are they going to access their city if there are no civic services because the city is bankrupt? It's a very interesting time that we're going through, that a modern city in a modern wealthy country is going through these kinds of issues. What's that going to mean about people getting around and getting in and out of the city? Is the airport was always partially funded or supported by the city of Detroit, even if it's a private manager? And who owns the land? What happens to the land?
Oh, it sounds like it's an opportunity for Macquarie Bank. But, of course, Detroit aren't the first city in the United States to declare bankruptcy. We've had counties in California. And, unfortunately, what's happened is that when the cities do declare bankruptcy, the social and the community services disappear because that's what can't be provided.
Exactly.
So, in fact, we do see that there are ghettos that are created, you know, which is just not at all.
Well, the whole city becomes a ghetto. The ghettos were there. So what's going to happen? How are people going to get around? How's someone, a single mother who may be on a disability pension, going to be able to get her kids to an appointment or just do shopping if there's no bus anymore?
Well, I know what I'm about to say is going to mean that our SMS line, which is 0427JOY949, will go nuts. But, of course, the one way you would not want to get around in Detroit would be if you had darker skin in a hoodie.
Well, that was another issue that happened this week. And how are people getting around communities by foot? It was a shocking thing that happened in Florida. The same week, a woman who was under duress, her husband was had already been in a violent relationship. She was warning him off by firing shots into the air to protect herself and her children. She has been given a 20-year sentence. In the same time that under the same laws of stand your ground, that a man who shot and killed a child has been considered not guilty. It is a unreal circumstance that's going on in Florida. And Florida is a big state. There's 18 to 20 million people living in it. Our population's 22 million. We're a country of our own. Florida, this is highly impactful on would you want to be in a state that has these inconsistent is the politest word I can think of, laws when it comes to self-defence in a country that has so many guns. Florida has been selling itself, particularly to the UK, over the past 10 years as a place to retire because of the affordability of housing. So sell up your home in the UK, migrate to Florida and move into one of these. And some of the communities are British only. Very interesting. Why would you want to be in that state if you can fire a gun in the air to protect yourself and your children and you end up going to jail for 20 years because you're a black woman? But if you're a white man shooting a black child, you're fine.
Well, before we have the American auxiliary on the phone...
Well, it's in Florida. Most of America is up in arms about this, and so they should be.
There's a few things that happened in Texas as well this week that weren't too
good. What happened in Texas, y'all?
Especially if you're a woman and you like to have control of your body.
Ah, yeah.
Governor Perry doesn't think that you should. But
no, tampons are abortion, right? That's basically what it came to.
You know, I love afternoon radio on the escape pod. Well, where really are you going to escape now? That's it. We're going to leave the week that was.
Let's leave America and what it means if you're in America.
We're going to depart and we're going to move on to introducing our two guests. Mm-hmm. We have Ursula Martinez and Jess Love in the studio. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for
There's
having
a lot
us.
Of love in the studio this morning. We're very excited. And so, in a nutshell, tell us about yourselves.
I'm a performer from the UK. And
what kind of performer?
I'm a live entertainer, a performer, a comedian, a performance artist, any number of those.
Award-winning cabaret artist down on my research.
Well, you can say that, but I can't say I'm a fabulous award-winning artist. I'm a live performer and I work a lot in cabaret, but also theatre. I have one-woman shows and I'm currently performing in the Glory Box at 45 downstairs in a wonderful sort of cabaret mixture variety vaudeville burlesque show.
So you've come to Australia to do this?
Yes.
And you're sitting next to...
I'm Jez. I'm Ursula's wife.
Amongst other things,
obviously. And she is mine, I'll have you know. And I mainly work in circus. I'm a circus performer and circus trained, but I also cross over in the same way that Ursula does into performance art and theatre. I have one-woman shows that cross genre between circus and dance and performance art and whatnot. I'm also here for Glory Box at 45 downstairs.
Awesome. So you're Australian, but you've moved to the UK.
That's right.
And you're with your wife.
Yes.
Ursula, and UK is your home now.
Yes.
And you've travelled back Australia. So are you? Which part of Australia are you originally from?
I'm originally from Brisbane. I was born in Brisbane and then I moved to Melbourne in 2000 to study circus at NICA. So that was before the National Institute of Circus Arts in Pran.
Oh, that's part of the Swinburne campus there,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes, correct. Yeah, well, yeah. Up until this very moment, in fact. It's all having a big shift around. I came over for that and I spent about 10 years here in Melbourne, which was awesome.
So when we met, Jess was living in Melbourne.
And we actually met on the Glory Box when it was called the Burlesque Hour. We did that show together. And that's how we met at 45 downstairs, in fact.
4 years ago. Romantic. So we're back doing the show. Yeah.
So you were both twirling around in leotards and noticed each other across a crowded room.
Or not in leotards, as the case may be.
We were sharing a dressing room, and dressing rooms are wonderful places. Sometimes you get to know people very quickly and intensely. You're sitting there putting your makeup on for a couple of hours, and people chat a lot in dressing rooms.
But you don't frequently marry someone.
Or do you? Maybe you do. I wouldn't say frequently.
Maybe it could be
relationships do blossom in dressing rooms.
So you're not the Elizabeth Taylor of burlesque. On to number seven.
Yeah, hopefully not.
And may I ask, where did you guys tie the knot?
In the UK, obviously not in Australia because we can't.
No, but you can now in the UK. It's very fresh, very recent.
Well, civil partnership has been legal for a number of years now.
Maybe 8 years even.
Yeah. So what we officially have is a civil partnership. We call it a marriage just because it's a much easier word than a civil partnership. And
that's what it is to us.
We refer to each other, this is my wife, as opposed to this is my civil partner.
You saying she's not civil?
Correct.
But they have just changed the laws.
Last week?
Yes.
Yeah. It's really exciting.
So same-sex couples will be able to enter into a marriage. And any same-sex partners who have a civil partnership can upgrade to a marriage.
So how do you do that? Is like on Facebook, you just status link.
Yeah, exactly.
It's done.
No, I can see it being a very English bureaucratic process.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure.
There'll
I'm
be stamps.
Sure, no doubt.
Yes, I'm sure this, maybe the parting of some money might be involved. I don't know. We haven't looked into it.
Of course.
But we will look into it. And I think we will probably do it.
Congratulations. Well done. And it's nice to see a married couple who work together.
Mm.
And it's, you seem to be looking at each other still lovingly. So you're defying a lot of trends.
Actually, I think we work best together when we are at work in terms of our relationship, where we sort of...
It's off stage with the nightmare.
No, but we're extremely professional. We're both very good at our job, I believe, and I think, we work really well together.
Yeah.
It's one of our strengths, that's for sure.
We've created a double act for this show, the Gloria Brox here in Melbourne at 45 Downstairs, and... It's heaps of fun. It's been heaps of fun working together, and we're really, really happy with the act that we've made together.
Is that the number where you cross-dress?
Yes. It's called Quick Change Sex Change, and it's a quick change.
It's a traditional quick change act, like you would have seen on, the talent shows or whatever, of those traditional acts where it's usually a man and a woman, and the woman changes her dress several times in a very short amount of time, maybe like 10 times in a few minutes. And the man usually only does one change, maybe two, but they're super quick. They're 0.001 of a second. So we've taken that, which is an extremely old art form.
So it's a Harper Colour T-shirt? No, it's more than that.
Oh, God, I miss those. So we've taken that.
Ursula's got this quizzical look on her face.
Like, culturally lost.
What
on
is
me.
That?
Lost. I'll explain later, babe.
While we're in a moment of being culturally lost, I think we should have a word from our very good supporters of Joy.
We have something very exciting here. Apart from our guests.
I was going to say, of course, we have two very exciting things here in the studio. What do you mean, what another one?
We have Ryan Gosling. Well, it's a ticket to a movie that he's in.
Bit of eye candy.
And
I did endure a blue Valentine.
Oh, I love her.
I love her too.
You see, it's
everyone's
eye candy
all a gush.
All right, we're going to have to, fight for these tickets.
Well, what you can do is join up as Joy members. It's $96 for a family, which you qualify for. Full is $72, concession $36, under 18, $22, or a business so is $165 for a Joy membership. And if you are a Joy member, either ring us on 1300-JOY949 or SMS in 0427-JOY949, email in on air at joy.org.au. Let us know your membership number and you could win this double pass to Only God Forgives, which is fantastic if you believe in God. But it's about Julian, a drug smuggler thriving in Bangkok's criminal underworld, and a whole bunch of stuff happens, but it's got Ryan Gosling in it and Kristin Scott Thomas, whose name is just a problem to me. I just can never pronounce it, but... I like her. I like him. I think that if you like a bit of eye candy and you want to go and see this film, let us know what your membership number is. You can't have won a prize for the last 2 weeks and you need to be a current financial member. So SMS, send a pigeon, do whatever you like, but let us know by the end of the hour and we're going to announce someone's going to have a good time with Ryan Gosling. Let's sort of corrupt the message that way. Joe.
We have discussed before the problems of sending messages to pigeons to the studio, haven't we? We have glass. They will heat in, they will come into it and they will
it
die.
It is infrequently successful.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Luckily, though, we can move back to our topic of conversation
talking
today.
About swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts. Now, I would be... It would be fabulous to have an hour-long conversation with Ursula about the art of the striptease. And I would love to spend... as much time, if not longer, talking to Jess about how you actually hula hoop. But we are a travel show. And I know that everyone who is listening wants to get an understanding as to what it's like to be performing and travelling continuously, and what are the good things, and what are the things that maybe drive you crazy, and what are the things that you've got down pat now, and, you know, how do you get that connection with an audience when you're in new cities all of the time?
Yeah. It's not easy. That's probably the biggest thing for me, is that I do find it quite difficult. You know, sometimes it's quite funny. Everybody goes, oh, that's so glamorous. You travel, you get to travel all the time. But we're not on holidays. And it is glamorous on paper. But, you know, sometimes I think I just want a garden with some vegetables in it that aren't dead every time I get home.
I hear that.
You know, but yeah. I do love it at the same time, otherwise I wouldn't do it, obviously.
Travel is a big part of our work, and you have to accept that. We could probably be travelling 10, 11 months of the year. We
wow.
could be on the road if we chose to. We choose not to travel quite as much as that.
We're probably, what, about seven?
Six or seven yeah. months
Jesus,
of the
still
year.
Still a long time.
It's still a long time, yeah. And that's really hard. I think it's really hard to have a work that takes you away a lot with a partner who has a stable job that doesn't take them away. So I suppose we're in a slightly more advantageous situation that we can travel together.
And you put your support function next to you.
Yeah, not always, though. For example, I just came and did a show for the Adelaide Fringe Festival this year in February, March. So I was away. Ursula was in London. So Ursula was in London for 2 months and I was in Australia for 2 months.
Ah, okay.
That's a long time. Mm.
So we try and work it and limit it to a maximum of 6 weeks apart. And occasionally we break our own rule, but that's what we aim for.
It started at 2 weeks and it slowly crept up to six.
And as the marriage progresses,
it'll be
you take that 6 months, then I'll go for 6 months.
It's a great contract.
Yeah, it's a year. Go do it. Have fun. I'll see you in 12 months.
I was wondering, what are the favourite places that you've travelled to in the last little while? Has there been a standout destination?
Oh, Helsinki.
Ooh, why? Is it the Nokias?
Do you know what? I don't know what it is, but I've always had a fascination with Helsinki, and I wasn't even performing. Ursula was doing her solo show, My Stories, Your Emails, there, and as soon as I found out that she was going, I was like, that's it, I'm coming with you. So I bought a ticket.
Yeah, sometimes we will. One of us won't be working, but we'll simply just,
want
you know,
come.
Take a holiday and travel and, you know, kind of, yeah.
So what was it about Helsinki in particular?
Do you know what? I don't even know. I think it was a lot like Melbourne in lots of ways.
It's quite hip.
It's got a circus community, which I really liked. So I got to go and visit, because I was just free and easy and travelling, I got to go and visit the sort of like local circus school, kind of circus community.
Could you get involved?
I probably could have if I was there for a little bit longer, but I was only there for a few days. And so, you know, I went and saw this crazy contemporary dance piece in this alternative venue, which was amazing. It just had a vibe. You know, when a city just has a vibe that makes it feel really special, it just had something special. Yeah, so I really enjoyed it. I walked for a whole day, just walked around the city and explored, and it was fantastic.
And so when you're travelling, have you found that your audiences kind of match the stereotype of the environment you're in, like German people all clap on time or Spanish people rock up 3 hours after you've gone?
It just depends.
A little bit. There are some national stereotypes occasionally, but then there are so many other variables as well.
Sometimes what are they?
You might be performing at a festival, where in a student town, well, that's got its own vibe. That's not necessarily a national stereotype. It may be a student festival stereotype. You might be performing at midnight in the summertime in Darwin, or you might be performing at 7 p.m. in a small town in
Denmark.
Yeah. And there's so many variables to
right.
the context and the time and the time of year. And yeah, so.
But generally, yes, but sometimes you are pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. So Outback, you mentioned Darwin.
Or you might be performing in a queer festival, or it might be a very mainstream festival, and all these things, yeah, kind of change the audience.
So Darwin.
Yeah, Darwin. Tell us about performing in Darwin.
Oh, we performed in Darwin last year in a show called La Soirée that was here in Melbourne at the Forum in autumn.
In fact, at the same time, the Burlesque Hour was at the same festival, at the Darwin Festival, performing in another Spiegel tent. We were in an open-air venue and they were in a Spiegel tent down the road. So we were here to perform with another company and they were there at the same time, which is fantastic because we're like family, you know, we coexist.
Of course.
In this festival land of performing arts.
And then when Darwin finished the Burlesque Hour, well, we're going on to Alice Springs to do the show there, and we joined the Burlesque Hour
for the Alice Springs
Outback
stint.
Tour for the Alice Springs stint, yeah, which was amazing. It's
incredible.
Amazing to go to these. Yeah.
Far-flung places.
Far-flung, amazing. That's a good word.
They're not known as areas that consume a lot of highbrow culture.
No,
they're small towns and they're remote.
Certainly, you know, art that's quite provocative and quite queer and confrontational and dangerous and at the same time joyous and wonderful and amazing and spectacular.
And it was well-received?
And accessible, but it has these other elements as well. Very well-received.
Extremely well-received. And awesome. I think that's something that is one of those pleasantly surprised moments when you go to places that you think, oh, dear, I don't know about this. You know, I don't know how this is going to go. And, in fact, Outback tours or regional tours, especially in Australia, are something else. They're really special.
We have Ursula and Jess from the Glory Box Burlesque performance here.
And they're live.
We are.
Although, I hope so. Otherwise, you're having a freaky afternoon.
I mean, we obviously need to have a little bit of time to talk about the performance and the reason why Ursula and Jess are actually in town. And, I mean, you could, I guess, consider Glory Box to be provocation as entertainment. Or I'm really keen to find out why Jess chose a rabbit with hula hoops.
Oh, dear. Well, I assume you're talking about animal love.
I am. That there's an amazing
you're going to have to define
it's my
further.
Fault.
It's
my
joy.
Fault. I wrote a piece of piano music that I really wanted to perform to an audience. So
which I've been encouraging her to perform for a long time, and I wanted to put it in my next solo work. And then this, you know, we ended up coming to Australia to do the Glory Box, and we needed another piece in the show. So we literally workshopped this piece you know, a couple of days before the show. And I had some animal heads from previous work that I'd done. A bunny rabbit and a cat.
You would travel with them regularly, like travel
with
the Harvey?
No, they were in Melbourne because they're from the Melbourne company that I work with, the Candy Butchers.
I've never heard anyone just casually mention, oh, yeah, I had some animal heads, unless they're a butcher.
Well, the company is called the Candy Butchers.
Huh? So I play my piano piece with a cat head on my head and just walks down the catwalk with a bunny rabbit.
With a bunny rabbit head on. It's an extremely surreal piece of theatre and piece of art. And I adore it, actually. I think it's really sweet. I do a really slow, surreal hula hoop move that continues for the entire length of the catwalk. And then at the end, we kind of have a moment together, Ursa and I, of falling in love as half animal, half human.
There you go.
It's very poignant.
It's quite a journey.
And that is quite a juxtaposition, Ursula, for I think one of the acts that you are most world-renowned for, which is Hanky Panky.
Yeah, my magic striptease act, combining striptease and magic. Yeah, it's sort of my signature piece, if you like. And I'm very well known for it worldwide because it went viral on the internet a few years ago.
Ah, I have seen this. You've got to Google it.
Yes. Just type in Ursula Martinez Hanky Panky and it'll come.
We're going to put a link on our Facebook page when we find it.
We have a YouTube channel and it's up there as well.
Oh, okay. We'll link that straight away to our Facebook page.
Great. We also have this double act that we've made for the show. Quick change, sex change. Yeah, we talked about that already, haven't we?
We did. We mentioned it. Briefly off air. But it's an amazing performance to see because you actually move from gentlemen's three piece suits into dresses and then finally into not much at all.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's going back to the travel thing. It's an act that we've probably been quite pragmatic in making an act together. Because
but then we shut ourselves in the foot where because it's three costumes each for one act. So our weight, our airline baggage weight has just gone up.
It has.
By quite a lot.
It has. Baggage weight features quite heavily in our lives.
Of course.
Which is no surprise. But, yeah, there was a pragmatic decision there to make an act together. It just increases our chances and possibilities of being able to travel together and work together.
Which is obviously our main objective.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking at Ursula online, quietly distracted. It's
cheeky,
far more entertaining.
Than
So we're going to have to get that link up very soon. So where to next? What happens when you leave the Glory Box?
I fly back to London and fly almost immediately to Mexico City.
Awesome.
To a cabaret festival in Mexico City. Jess may well join just for a week for a holiday. After that,
correct,
we have in the pipeline for both of us to go to Argentina, to Buenos Aires with
Glory Box.
And that's a big deal. That's a very prestigious invitation, isn't it, to perform in that festival
I believe it's a very prestigious arts festival in Buenos Aires.
And it is invitation only, so it's one of these things that you can't just send, you know, your promo video and say, hey, I want to come along, like Edinburgh, for example, or just say, I'm paying my registration, let me in. It's invitation only, which is quite exciting.
Wow.
Fully curated, yeah.
That's in the pipeline. Then after that, we've both been offered work in New York as well for the autumn. So, yeah, it just, it continues.
Anything could happen.
How do you plan this? Or does it just sort of fold in front of you in some kind of organised chaos?
Planning is hard. Decision-making is hard. Sometimes things fall into place and a job follows another one so beautifully. And sometimes you've taken on a job for a week and you get offered a 2-month contract in somewhere fabulous and glamorous, but there's 3 days that cross over on the week that you accepted, and so you can't do it, and you just have to cut your losses. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes
it
doesn't.
But, you know, it's hard to plan anything. You know, my sister and her husband were coming over to the UK for their 10th wedding anniversary. We were going to be there. Now we might not. You know, it's a nightmare sometimes, to be honest.
So you don't have some cat at home that's being fed by an auto feeder? Sort of going,
no.
Where are they?
We've got a fantastic neighbour, actually,
who
sort of looks after our place while we're away.
Just really wants a dog, and yeah, that's hugely problematic with our
child.
You know,
we're
talking to a friend who's interested in a dog share, and we'll take the dog while we're away, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, that could be interesting.
Yeah,
it could, of course, have ramifications for the baggage weight. At check-in.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Oh, part-time pooch will stay home.
Oh, part-time pooch.
I don't know. I can't convince either of the chows that it's a good idea.
No, Jo trots around Melbourne frequently with her two fluffy chows in tow.
And you just can't hide a chow-chow on board. You know, it's just not a chihuahua. It's their chow-chows. They need another 2 seats.
Exactly. So you travel all the time. Do you this kind of chaotic way that it's structured, mm-hmm. do you organise your flights and accommodation as part of your contract? Do you have a preferred supplier that you work with? How do you work the logistics? I just can't imagine it.
Yeah, if we get bookings for overseas, or actually anywhere, to be honest, if we have to be somewhere overnight, it's always accommodation and travel included in the fee base.
Mm. And they will usually sort out.
And they will sort that out.
The travel.
Unless, of course, for example, we might want to go to somewhere else in South America after the Mexico gig or something like that. So then we would say, you know, we'll organise our own tickets after that, but they will always pay for that. It's always included in our fares, which is incredible because we do get to see some amazing places in the world and we get paid to do that.
Mm.
It's a blessing in many ways.
Well, while our listeners are now scrambling for their globes to see where they want to travel to next.
Yeah, we have to get them into burlesque perfection, like
we
our
do.
Two guests here. They can't just go around and say, I would like you to pay me to swing in the air.
You might just fall in love with somebody in the cast. You never know.
It's happened before. It certainly has happened before.
So while you're diving into your wardrobe and you literally have minutes left in the hour to email us at onair@joy.org.au if you have a question you'd like us to put to Ursula and Jess. And I certainly have one. Jess, Hula hoops, I think it could safely be said, have always been the kind of hippie element of circus. And yet you bring to hula hoops and your performances so much glamour. How did you decide to work glamour in with hula hoops?
Well, in actual fact, hula hooping is definitely associated with kind of a hippie lifestyle. But my experience of hula hooping is very different to that. I first saw Karina Oates in Circus Oz in the late 90s and was completely mesmerised by her, and she is nothing but glamour, that woman. So I guess my experience with hula hooping, you know, it comes from a place of glamour, really. I guess...
And also a lot of the sort of Russian hula hoopers and stuff.
Russian hula hoopers, that whole element of my act where I play sort of a jaded character, a jaded hula hooping character, is based very much on a Russian sensibility of performance, which does sometimes come across as a little bit surly.
So explain it.
It's a great performance.
Explain it for those of us who are untutored in the ways of the Russian performance.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, I went to see the State Moscow Circus, which was definitely not the State Moscow Circus when it came to Melbourne maybe 10, 15 years ago. And there was a girl there. She was probably about 14. Her dad, clearly her father, was throwing her the hula hoops. She was
and you
having,
had a cattle prod at the time.
She was having such a horrible time. And she was so bored and she didn't smile once. And I was totally mesmerised by her. I was like, that is brilliant. I'm going to do an act where I parody that style of performance. These people that have just had enough, they don't want to be there.
Oh, was she really miserable? Or it's not just something they're affecting?
She just looked bored.
Oh,
she just looked completely bored. I mean, it was a little bit tragic, but I thought, this is brilliant. This is comedy gold.
Was she really 14, or was she just an undernourished 27-year-old?
I would say she was circus family, so she was probably a teenager, mid-teens.
Right.
You know, I mean, she did a million other things in the show as well. She didn't just hula hoop, but the hula hoop really stood out for me because it's supposed to be such a joyous thing, and it can be such a joyous thing to watch. But, I mean, when she was doing it, it just looked a little bit painful.
So she was all maudlin. She'd rather stick a fork in her eye than
exactly.
Twirl once more with that
I
thigh.
Mean, maybe it was just teenage angst. I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't ask to be born to twirl.
Exactly.
But you just don't twirl with one. Your world record is 115 hula hoops. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, the world record is a lot more than that now. I broke that, I think, in 2008. I did 115 at Fed Square, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a part of the Streets of Melbourne Festival back then.
How much would all those hula hoops weigh?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure, and I didn't weigh them.
You're not an overly statuesque woman. I don't want to say that you're short.
I'm
but
quite slight.
Yeah, and I always marvelled at the fact that she managed to break the world record because you can only fit so many hula hoops onto your body, and the smaller your torso, then the less you can fit.
And it must just screw with your centre of gravity. You're all whirling around you centripetally.
It does throw you around. Yeah. It does throw you around. No, it would weigh quite a bit. I mean, 12 hoops, yeah, I'm not sure. 12 hoops is probably about 5 kilos.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. You do the maths.
So 150,000 or whatever you had was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they were probably a bit slimmer than that, but yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It was heavy and it's a struggle. It was a struggle to pick them up.
You only have to do 3 revolutions, though, don't you, to qualify?
Hey.
What do you mean only?
That's a lot with 115, man.
I'm marvelling at this and you're only 3. How many can you do?
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Smug.
I mean, you'd have to be an Egyptian, wouldn't you, to do 3 revolutions?
Oh, topical.
Are your hula hoops telescopic, or do you actually have to travel with them in bags? Is this part of your check-in baggage problem?
Uh-huh, indeed it is.
So what are the logistics of that? Do you send everything ahead?
No,
or?
I have a hula hoop bag and...
Who doesn't?
And they all go in, and it closes up so that I can put other things in it as well. So we do manage to fill that bag so it becomes sort of an extra piece of luggage. So we get it to our 23 or whatever our limit is for that one bag. So I do that. Thanks to my lovely mother who stitched that one up for me.
But no, we try and travel as much as possible, totally self-sufficiently, so that we take everything with us.
But we do look a little bit like glamorous showgirls when we turn up at the airport baggage counter with
half your costume on,
endless suitcases and hula hoops and guitars and, you know.
So you're not looking for EasyJet to become a sponsor then?
That's the other. Yeah, we do sometimes have to pay a little bit more for our fares because that, you know, that the higher fares do
do accommodate better for people that have a lot of luggage. It's true.
Yeah.
And Ursula, where do you think your next sort of inspiration will come from for your next performance?
I never know the answer to that question.
She means me.
To your right.
I never know the answer to that question. I think it's better not to know the answer, because inspiration comes when it comes, and it's best when it surprises you.
Like a 1950s marriage proposal. Completely unexpected, and probably by your father. Here you go, you're marrying this one. Here's your inspiration.
And there's a few other surprises that are going to pop up at the Glory Box, aren't there? There's some guests.
So what's going to pop out of the Glory Box?
Yeah, we've got the fabulous Paul Capsis is here this weekend. We love Paul Capsis.
So he finishes tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So we've got three more shows to catch him. He's amazing in the show, stunning.
The legendary Rhonda Birchmore is coming in.
Leggy Rhonda Birchmore.
I don't mind. I think a leggy lady, I must say.
I think next week, I think that is. We've got Deborah Conway in for one night only on the
beautiful
first.
Beautiful performer, Deborah Conway.
Of August, yeah. Mm. I did my first ever gig was supporting Deborah Conway in
was
London.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
In the UK?
In the UK, yeah. I was at a dinner party with her and she was there and she had a guitar and I played the guitar and somebody said, oh, I'll play a couple of songs and I was embarrassed, but I played a couple of songs.
It's your lesbian singer-songwriter days.
It's kind of my lesbian singer-songwriter days. And a week later, Deborah Conway asked me to support her, and I did, yeah.
Fantastic. She's an amazing artist.
Yeah, she's
very
brilliant.
Proud of her in Melbourne.
So the lineup changes intermittently throughout the run. We have different guest performers in the show, but we're there every night.
Mm, fantastic. So where do people go and how do people find out about more? Like, physically, where do they go?
Physically, the show's at 45 Downstairs.
So go to 45 Downstairs website.
Flinders Lane, 45 Flinders Lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's underneath the Arc Art Gallery, mm-hmm. and some people might know it because there's a wine bar right next door.
That's right, Cumulus,
yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Which is rather famous nosh spot.
It's quite fancy.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, Flinders Lane is quite fancy,
yeah,
generally.
Yeah, that end of Flinders Lane especially is very cool.
There's some great restaurants down there.
And then you get the Swiss Club, which sounds like it would be really cool, and it's like a 1970s departure lounge. It's great.
Which is fantastic.
But a hell of a schnitzel.
So, yeah, but you can physically buy tickets at the venue or go to 45
or
Downstairs
online.
Website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is probably best because I think they're selling quite fast.
And it's easy. So your public transport, you can get straight there, even on a wintry, inclement day as we have. And so you're here for a little while, and this venue is going to be here in perpetuity, but you're not. So how quickly do people need to move to come and see you?
We're here until the show is on until the 10th of August.
10th of August. We've got a little bit of time, but not a lot.
Yeah,
so
I think
get a wriggle
there's,
on.
After this week, three more weeks.
Okay.
But it's very busy. It's very popular.
I'm definitely coming to see this.
Please do. I'd love to see you.
Now, is your YouTube outstanding performance, is this part of your act?
I am performing my infamous, iconic, hanky-panky magic striptease act at 45 Downstairs.
Oh, there's a ringing endorsement.
Nightly.
From several of the ladies who have tweeted in talking about that. So, yes, I think that we've certainly got a few people who will be breathlessly watching, pitched in front row.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.